Congregation, I again invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Well, today in Canada is Thanksgiving's Day, a national holiday in which we are to set time aside and to look back at what we have received in this past year, a special day in which we should express our thankfulness. But for what and to whom should we express our thankfulness? We have the practice of saying thank you to people who help us or serve us. This is something that we teach our children from a young age. If someone gives you a gift, if someone does something kind for you, parents are often quick to say, what do you say to Mr. So-and-so? And we want them to say thank you, to show their appreciation. And certainly this is a good practice by which we teach our children at a young age to appreciate how others help them, how others show them kindness. And I found it interesting when we look at the New Testament and how people give thanks in the New Testament, we see that thanksgiving is almost always directed to God. Even when Paul or others are thankful for what people around them are doing, they don't necessarily say, thank you to Peter or thank you to so-and-so. They'll say, I thank God for Peter. I thank God for the church at Philippi. We see an example of this in Philippians chapter 3, and Paul there, in writing to the church in Philippi, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. When Paul is there sitting in prison, and he's thinking about the church in Philippi, he's thinking of believers who are there, those who have come to faith, and how they have helped him, how they have encouraged him, how they have encouraged others around them. And now here, as he's writing a letter to them, he doesn't say, I'm thankful for you. He says, I'm thankful to God when I think about you. I think that's something also that we can think about as we say thanks in this day, and we'll come back to that later. On this special worship service on Thanksgiving Day, I want to spend some time this morning reflecting on a passage that we have read together from Luke chapter 17. We can see, and to see what we can learn from this, which is relevant not just for today, which is relevant for us as we go through all of our life. Our theme this morning is, God deserves our heartfelt thanks. God deserves our heartfelt thanks. With the Lord's help, we want to consider this in three thoughts. First, we'll see how a great need is met. And then secondly, we want to see how real thankfulness is shown. And then thirdly, we want to see how a sobering question is raised. So God deserves our heartfelt thanks, a great need met, real thankfulness shown, and a sobering question raised. We'll begin then with a great need met. And as we, let's again read together verses 11 through 14 of this chapter. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, Go, show yourself to the priests. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. Well, first of all, we see from verse 11 that the context in which we find this miracle taking place. Jesus and his disciples, they are on their way to Jerusalem. Now, why are they going there? Jesus made several trips to Jerusalem throughout his public ministry. If you look back at Luke chapter 9, we can see how Jesus had already foretold his death. In verse 22 of Luke 9, he says, The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. And later in that same chapter of Luke 9 in verse 51, Luke tells us, Now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. So here now, as you are reading this passage in Luke chapter 17, we find Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. Not just to go there to observe the Passover, to be there as part of one of the other religious ceremonies or festivals. But he is going there to go and offer himself as a substitutionary sacrifice, as we heard yesterday afternoon. He is on his way to Jerusalem to lay down his life. He's going there to die. Well, here in Luke 17, Jesus and his disciples and others who are following along with them, they're going down to Jerusalem and they're traveling through or perhaps along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And when they come to a certain unnamed and likely insignificant village, they're met by 10 men. 10 men who are lepers. These men could not come near to Jesus because of the awful disease they had. They had leprosy, which is a contagious, flesh-wasting disease. It means when you get this disease, as the disease progresses, there can be different physical deformities. There are people that who suffered with this who began to lose their sense of feeling in their hands and feet. There were those who had this disease who would have entire fingers or hands and feet completely rot away, and they'd be crippled. They'd often suffer much. Maybe not so much physically because of the loss of feeling, but they'd suffer much and the shame that they had. When you find out that you have leprosy, you know there's no cure for this. There's no doctor that you can go to who can give you medicine to give you healing. And if people did recover, it was seen as a miracle from God. But what was even worse than the physical effects that lepers had were the social and the religious effects. People who thought they had leprosy, when they began to see spots on their skin and begin to feel unwell, they had to go to the priest, and the priest would examine them and determine, yes, this is leprosy, or no, this is something else. But if you had leprosy, you were declared to be unclean. This means you can't go back home to your families. You can't go back home and give your children and your wife a hug. You can't go back to work and to seek to, as a husband, to care for your family. If you're a mother or a wife, you can't go back to take care of your children. Those who were declared unclean, they were forced to live outside of the houses, outside of the towns, in the outskirts of the cities. But also because of their leprosy that they had, they could not participate in the public worship of God. They can no longer go to the synagogues and hear God's word being read and taught. They can no longer go to the synagogues and hear the prayers that were made. They cannot participate in this public singing. They cannot go to the temple anymore to bring their sacrifices, their offerings to God. All these things which Jews could enjoy, and even things that we can in a similar way enjoy, these are things that they lost. Well, these lepers, they knew well their condition. They also had heard that someone was now living in Israel, someone who healed lepers. Someone, back in Luke 5, we can read how Jesus had healed a man who was full of leprosy. And there in Luke 5, verse 13, we can read how Jesus, he puts out his hand and he touched this man. And he said, "I am willing, be cleansed." Here in Jesus is someone who wouldn't tell them to go away. Here's someone who wouldn't tell them, stay far away from me. I'm scared of this disease. Here is someone who would touch a leper. Someone who could simply speak the word and the leprosy would disappear. How this must have brought hope and excitement to all lepers who were living in the area. If only they could get to Jesus. Now Jesus has come to the part where they lived. The news had spread, and they come and they begin to cry out to Jesus. They say, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They know their need. They know that without Jesus, there is no hope of healing, of restoration. And they begin to cry out to him. They cry out to him that he would have mercy. They don't say, "Heal us because we deserve it." Don't say, "Heal us because we are such great people." They simply say, "Lord, Be merciful. Be kind. Show compassion. When they hear Jesus' reply, they might have been a little disappointed. He does not come to them. He doesn't touch them. He doesn't say to them, be well. He simply says to them, go, show yourself to the priests. And yet we do not read of these lepers doubting or questioning these instructions. They knew their Bibles well enough that they had no reason to go to the priest unless they were healed. And they believed the words of Jesus. They believed that they would obey, and they trusted that if they obeyed, that God would heal them, that this cry for mercy would be healed. Well, they respond. They go away from Jesus, and as they're on their way to the priest, they soon notice a miraculous healing taking place. Their skin returns to normal. They again have full feeling, full use of their hands and of their feet. They again feel strong and healthy. And what rejoicing there must have been in this group of men. They can go back to their families. They can go back to their loved ones. They can support their families again. They can care for them. They can again be part of the worship of God in the tabernacle or in the temple and the synagogues. Before they were as good as dead. And now they have new life, a new chance, a second opportunity. Now again, they are cleansed. They can again be with other people. They can worship God. Before we go on to consider their thankfulness, there are several applications that we can make at this point. The first question we can ask ourselves is, have we come to see ourselves as spiritual lepers? Sinners by nature have a lot in common with these lepers. We cannot come to God. There's a barrier in between us. That's our sin and our guilt. We are spiritually unclean. We might not see anything on our skin outwardly. We might have full use of our hands and our feet. When we look at our lives, when we look at our hearts, especially in light of God's law, what do we see? Do we not see death? Do we not see brokenness? Do we not see sin and guilt living and thriving in our hearts by nature? The second question we can ask ourselves is, have we cried out to God for mercy? These lepers knew that there was no hope anywhere else. And that is why they go to Jesus. They go to the one that they are confident in, someone is here who can give them healing, who can give them life. Is that something that we have done as sinners? Have we seen the sin in our hearts, and have we come to realize that there is nothing I can do to save myself? I need to go to Jesus. I need to go to Him and plead with Him, Lord, be merciful to me. Not because I deserve it, not because I've cleaned up my life enough, not because I can somehow pay you back later, but Lord, have mercy. What an example these lepers are for us spiritually. And the third question then is, have we believed the gospel calls and the promise? Have we believed what God says in His Word, that if we come to Christ, if we believe in Him, if we rest in Him, that our sins will also be forgiven, that we too will be right with God, that we too will be, that we be made whole, that we be made cleansed, maybe made spiritually pure in God's sight. If these are things that by God's grace you have come to know, and things that you have done, what reason you have also to show your thankfulness to God? Let's go on to consider that in our second thought, how God deserves our heartfelt thanks. And then secondly, how real thankfulness is shown. Well, here we have 10 lepers. They're traveling down the road to go to the priest. And as they are going, they are healed. They saw and they felt a miraculous change take place. They see that God has heard their prayers. We don't know what 9 of these men did. Presumably, they went on their way to the priest to be declared clean. Leviticus clearly spelled out the different rituals that had to be done, the sacrifice that had to be offered before they can go back home to their families and to their old lives. And certainly possible that these nine men, that they also praised and praised God and rejoiced together. What we do not read is that they go back to Jesus. Yet one of these men is different, isn't he? He's different in several ways, as we'll come to see in the coming minutes. But the first difference that we see between this one and the nine is that when he sees that he is healed, he turns around. He goes back to Jesus. He went back again to Jesus, and as he's going back, he, with a loud voice, is glorifying God. This is not just like a one-time thing that he says. And again, we don't have details, but we can picture him singing songs of praise to God as he's going back to Jesus. We can picture him loudly telling others that he met, "Look at me, I've been healed." This leper would still be wearing the distinct clothing that lepers had to wear to warn others. But now, instead of saying, "Unclean, unclean, stay away from me," he can say to them, "Look at me, I've been healed. It's a miracle. Jesus has had mercy on me." What reason he had to praise and to glorify God as he goes to Christ. And when he gets to Christ, we read that he fell down on his face at his feet. He's laying there in the dust before Christ. And just like before, he was loudly glorifying God. Now he is profusely thanking Jesus for healing him. I already noted in the introduction that in the New Testament, thanksgiving, even when someone else helps you, it's almost always directed to God. And the particular word that Luke here is using is only once used for people. And every other time, it's when someone is thanking God. But now here, Luke is using this word to describe how this man is thanking the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll come back again to what this man saw in Christ in a moment. What does Jesus say to this man? It is a man laying at his feet, a man who came glorifying God and now is thanking him for mercy that has been shown. We'll come back to verses 17 and 18 in a moment, but here in verse 19, we can read what Jesus said specifically to this healed leper. He says, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well." Jesus receives the thanks of this leper, and he sends him on his way, but not without first giving him real comfort, real encouragement. Up to this point, there has been different words used for healing. We can read of lepers being cleansed in verses 14 and 17. We can read of a man when he saw that he was healed in verse 15. But now a different word is being used. It's translated, "Your faith has made you well." And this here is more than just a reference to the fact that the leprosy is gone. This is more than physical healing. Christ here is saying that your faith has made you perfectly well, completely well. Some translations even write it this way, "Your faith has saved you." This leper, he recognized through the healing that he has received that this is the work of God. And that Jesus is not just some ordinary prophet or teacher, but that this is the long-awaited Messiah, the one who God was going to send to save his people. Here, he is laying before that promised seed of the woman, the one who's going to crush the head of the serpent and who's going to win the victory against sin and Satan. This leper, by trusting in Christ, not only is he physically healed, he's also healed spiritually. No wonder this man glorifies God. And no wonder this man lays in the dust before Christ and thanks him with all his heart. A congregation meeting, again, can learn a lot from this healed leper. Not only did he go to Christ with his need to be healed, But he also went back to Christ to express his thankfulness, his love. He's really a model of what we see in question 2 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Remember the 3 parts that we need to know. We need to know our misery, our sin. We need to know how we can be delivered. And then we need to know how we can show our gratitude, our thankfulness to God. This is what he did. He went to Christ with his need. He went to be delivered. And now that he saw his deliverance, he goes back and he thanks God. He praises Christ. Now, are we doing that? Not just that we go to Christ for forgiveness, but also that we keep on going back, loudly praising God and thanking Christ for this unspeakable gift of salvation. This is one of the reasons why we sing in church. This is part of worship, a way by which we can show our thanks, our love, our dedication to God as for all the gifts that he has given us. But this giving of thanks and this praising of God can also be done at different times in our lives. When we meet with our friends, as we spend time with coworkers or our acquaintances, as we spend time with our broader families, let us look for opportunities to glorify God, to share with them this miracle that has taken place in our lives. Once we were lepers. Once we were under God's wrath, under God's guilt, but a miracle has taken place. Through the Word and Spirit, God has opened our eyes. And through the blood of Christ, our sin, our guilt can be and has been forgiven through faith in him. What good news we have to share with those that we love and with those that we meet. Well, in the midst of this thanksgiving and joy, there's also a sad aspect, isn't there? Let's consider this in our third thought, a sobering question raised. In verses 15 and 16, we have one man healed who turned around, who glorified God and who thanked Christ. As this man is laying there before Christ, we read in verse 17, and Jesus responds and he said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There were 10 lepers who saw their need. There were 10 lepers who cried out to Christ, "Lord, have mercy. Lord, heal us." There were 10 lepers who went away and who all received healing, who all received life. But where are they? Only one came back to Christ. Only one could not go on down that road. Only one felt this burden, this desire in his heart that he had to go back. He had to go back to show his thanks and to worship God and to show his love for Christ. The other 9 seem to have better or more urgent things to do, and they go on their way. Jesus follows this up with another question. Another question also would highlight his grief. He has just healed 10 lepers. He's given them a second chance at life. He has drastically improved their lives. Did they not appreciate this? Did they not want to show their thanks and their love to Christ? And he says this, "Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God, except this foreigner?" And Jesus here is also showing his concern with the glory and the honor of God. Those 9 men, they may have gone on down that road and they may have glorified God and they might go to a temple and thank God for this. But they were missing the most important opportunity they had to directly show their thanks and to praise and to glorify God. They should have came back like the other one and glorify God and worship Christ. And this sorrow of Christ is all the more highlighted by the identity of the one healed leper who came back. Verse 16 ends with Luke, the writer, making this observation. "And he was a Samaritan." At the end of verse 18, Jesus said, "Except this foreigner." And the implication is that from these 10 lepers, there was 9 that were Jews, and there was 1 who was a Samaritan, a foreigner. These nine lepers who were healed, these were God's special people. These were those who in a special way experienced God's blessing, God's kindness, God's mercy. These were they who had enjoyed such gospel light through the law and through the prophets. God had in a special way made himself known to them. These 9 had the covenant seal of circumcision, a special sign that set them apart and made them know even more, with more certainty the goodness of God, the promises of God, how God was claiming them as his own. These 9 who could see the types and shadows of Christ in the Old Testament sacrifices and offerings. They of all people should return to glorify God. They of all people should have recognized that in Christ, here is the Messiah. Here is the one that we've been waiting for. Here is the one that all our gifts and our sacrifices have been pointing to. But they are nowhere to be seen. How sad it is when a foreigner, an outsider, that he would come back, glorifying God and thanking Christ, while a covenant child or someone who's been part of the church for many years goes on through this life without ever coming to this point. The word translated here as foreigner, it only occurs once in the New Testament. And literally it means of another nation. There's also another place that we know that this Greek word is found, and that was carved into a limestone block that was part of the wall around the temple. In the days of Jesus, there was 4 parts to the temple compound. You had the priest court in the middle where the actual temple was, and the priests and Levites did their work. Then there was another section, another court. This was called the inner court. This was just for the Israelite men who could come to worship God. Then again, another step further away from the temple, there was the women's court. This is the place where the Israelite women could come and they could also be part of worship and serve God. And yet still further out was the Gentiles' court, a place where non-Israelites could come to worship God from a distance. And there's a stone that was found that you can still see it in a museum. And on this stone was carved in Greek and Latin these words: "Let no foreigner enter within the screen and the enclosure surrounding the sanctuary." The foreigners, those like the Samaritan, they were allowed this far, but no further. They're always, in a sense, excluded and not allowed to fully come in and to worship God. How amazing then it is that this outsider, this foreigner, one who was hated and rejected by the Jews, one who was unable to come close to the temple or to fully participate in worship, that he could come to Jesus, that he could be made completely, perfectly, fully whole by faith in Christ. Well, here again, we need to examine ourselves, especially on this Thanksgiving Day. We can ask ourselves, are we like this, like these 9, or like the 1? Do we just go to Christ with our problems? Do we just go to him and say, "Lord, I don't want to go to hell. Or my sin and my guilt are keeping me awake at night. Lord, forgive me." Are we like this Samaritan who had this real love for Christ? One who's seen the miracle that took place and who cannot stay away from him. One who had to be with Christ, who came back to him. We see when we look within our own hearts, do we have this love, this gratitude for God and for all that God has done? Are we looking to the Lord for his help, that we would show this gratitude to those around us? Many of us have plans this afternoon or this evening to enjoy a Thanksgiving Day with loved ones. For others of us already have done this perhaps in days past, or will do this later in this week. But often a part of these Thanksgiving get-togethers is to share with one another the things that you are thankful for. What are you going to say when someone asks you, maybe even at work, when someone asks you, what are you thankful for this year? Are you going to begin by saying, first of all, I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and for what he has done? What an opportunity that is, isn't it? Even in our workplace, in our schools, in our communities. When someone says, what are you thankful for? I am thankful for Christ who healed me, who gave me life. What an example this Samaritan leper is for us. First of all, by going to Christ to be saved, to be made whole. And then by glorifying God and praising and thanking Christ. You can also be thankful for many other things, and we should be thankful. But here again, I think what we see in the New Testament is a helpful perspective in which we express our thanks. When we say that we are thankful for work, or for loved ones, for children, for different gifts that God has given us, that we express it in those terms. I give thanks to God for my work. I give thanks to God for my wife or my husband or my children. Again, that helps us again, doesn't it, to put all things in that perspective, in that frame. And remember that all these good things that we have, that we can enjoy, they ultimately came from God. And that he, above all, would receive all honor, all glory, all praise, and all thanks. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and also give particular thanks for the blessings we can enjoy as a people, as a congregation. Also, as preparing for this prayer, I think few, if any of us, are farmers here. And in the spring, we often pray for farmers and for crops. And I was interested myself to know how the farmers did in this year. And from the reports that have come in so far, most crops are above the 5 and the 10-year average. And I think here, too, we can give particular thanks to God for blessing us also as a province, as a country with farms in a time in which there's a great shortage around the world for food. So we began this spring by praying that God would bless the farmers, that he would give us food. And certainly in this part of the world, God has heard and answered our prayers. And that too we want to remember and thank God for. So let's go to the Lord. Our great God, Lord, we give you thanks. We thank you, first of all, for the lessons that we can learn from this passage, for your grace, your kindness, your mercy, which you show to lepers. Lepers both from your own chosen people, but also to a leper who was an outsider, an outcast, a foreigner. Lord, that you received him, that you healed him. And above all, Lord, how you worked in his heart to a greater degree than his fellow friends. That by your word and spirit you open his eyes, that he came to love and to need Christ for more than just physical healing, but that he trusted in you and was made whole. And we thank you for the work of salvation that you accomplish. You've accomplished, first of all, through your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest gift of all. And Lord, for the sacrifice of Christ, that he would give himself. That he give himself body and soul to suffer under God's wrath, God's anger, God's judgment, that he would give his life for enemies, for sinners, for rebels like us. And Lord, we thank and praise you with all those who are here who have come to know this, who have come to love and to trust and to need Christ for this life and for the life to come. Lord, help us to grow in our thankfulness. Help us to express our thankfulness in a way that is to your honor and for the furtherance of your kingdom. Lord, also in this special day that's been set apart for Thanksgiving, we thank and praise you, Lord, for you are our creator. You have made us. You have given us life. You have placed us in your providence, in your good and kind will, to grow up in Canada, North America, in a time in which we can enjoy such prosperity, such physical blessings. And Lord, as we look at other places around us to many who starve every year in Africa, to we can think of the slums in South America, to the unrest and the brokenness in Eastern Europe, in Ukraine, and or even in our own communities. There's so many who grew up in broken homes, so many who had such little positive role models, who from a young age became addicted to drugs and to alcohol. Lord, what makes us to differ from them? Lord, we acknowledge it is your kindness, your grace, your mercy that so many of us could grow up in Christian homes, in stable homes, in homes where we could hear your word and be part of schools and churches where your word was taught. And we thank you for that. We also thank you for your blessing on the farmers and the crops in this year. Lord, how we can also rejoice with them that you have blessed the work of their hands. That you have given rain. That you have given different means by which crops could flourish. And that in this year we have an abundant harvest. We pray also that with that abundance you may be a blessing to those who are less fortunate in this world. And that you'd also incline hearts of leaders to be generous and to give and to help those who are suffering. Also thank you in this day that we look back with thankfulness that in many ways COVID is less of an issue at this time, that the cases continue to be low and there seem to be a lot less people who have currently serious illnesses from this. And Lord, this too is not an answer to our prayers. And Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, we pray this would continue, that there would not be a major outbreak again in this fall and this winter, and that we may be continued to be upheld and spared. Lord, we thank you for the work that you have given so many of us, that we live in a place where there is an abundance of work, also through which we can support our families, our loved ones. We thank you for schools and for education, whether it's in school, in person, or online. We also thank you that through these means, our children can be taught and they can learn and grow. We pray for our government, and Lord, we thank you for them. Though we might disagree much with their policies and their decisions, we thank you that we can live in a country where there's still stability, there's still a rule of law, and there's ways by which we can appeal decisions and seek to bring about reform. Lord, we pray and we thank you for emergency services, those who labor on the front lines in our streets, in the hospitals, in our communities. We pray that you'd bless and equip and provide for them. Lord, we thank you for the healthcare workers. Now, they have many of them have struggled much in this last 2 years and continue to be often overworked and underappreciated. Lord, we pray that you would bless them, that you'd help them, that you'd equip them. Lord, we thank you for the military, all those who serve in different branches of the armed forces, and also how they seek to keep us safe from the evil in this world. We thank you for their willingness to sacrifice their time and even put their lives on the line. And Lord, we thank you for the beauty of creation that we can see around us. Lord, how the mountains and the hills and the heavens declare your glory and show your majesty. But also, Lord, we give you thanks and praise you for the blessings we can enjoy as a church and as a family. You have given us your word that we can read and understand. You've given us fellow believers to encourage us and to rejoice together as the body of Christ. Lord, we thank you for the men that you have raised up and placed in the consistory, and we pray that you would bless and equip and help them as they do their work, that they would be a blessing to us and that we'd be a blessing to them. We thank you for the preaching of the word as it has gone out week after week in this past year, and for the sacraments that we can witness and be part of. And Lord, also through that, we pray that we would come to know you, or that our faith would be strengthened, that we'd be helped. We thank and praise you for the great cloud of witnesses that we can read of in Scripture, also that we can see in church history, and even that we can see around us and godly mentors and leaders in the church and community, and even sometimes people who have no official place or a role in leadership and yet serve in simple and Christ-like ways, and they showed a love of Christ. And Lord, we thank you for them. We pray that you'd help each one of us to grow in this way. Lord, there's much more that can be said. Lord, you truly have been good and gracious to us. You have blessed us richly. Lord, and also in this morning, I want to pray for those among us who maybe are struggling in particular ways in this weekend. Those who have lost loved ones and can feel in special ways that empty place at the table or in their homes. Those who are experiencing brokenness and disunity in a family, and who again are reminded of loved ones who are not present. And Lord, and that's in those cases also we pray that you would bring about unity, that we would be able to rejoice in the future to see families united around Christ, and especially trusting in Christ. Also families that can together give thanks for the common blessings that you have given each one of us. And Lord, we think of those who also are dealing with health challenges and weaknesses. And we pray in particular in this day for Guy Hirma with the surgery he has planned in this week. And Lord, we pray that you would guide the hands of the doctors, that you'd bless this surgery, and also that this would be used for a greater improvement of health. Lord, please be with him and with Lisa also with her challenges and the help that she is getting. We pray that you'd bless that and be with them as a whole family, that they would continue to look to you to help during trials. And Lord, also for others in our church who struggle with health, Lord, that they would know your presence, your help in a special way. Lord, be with all those who struggle. Give them patience. Give them much joy in you and in your word. And help and strengthen us. Lord, be with us in the rest of this day and all that we have planned. Bless our conversations, bless our meals, bless our fellowship, and Lord, bless us as we worship you. And we pray that all that we do may be done to your honor, to your glory, and for the furtherance of your kingdom. Lord, please forgive us all that was sinful and that was amiss. And keep sin and Satan far from us. And we ask all these things for Christ's sake alone. Amen.